It is June 1st, 2023, and this is the John Lothian News Daily Update. I am John Lothian. This podcast gives an overview of content from the John Lothian newsletter, including comments from our hits and takes section, stories from the first read section, a listing of the top three stories from yesterday's newsletter, and of the first three stories in the lead section of today's JLN. This podcast is a production of John Lothian News, home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. We encourage you to learn about the history of trading from our Open Outcry Traders History Project or the Path to Electronic Trading video series at johnlothiannews.com. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. Yesterday was Alex Teng's last official day at John Lothian News. Episodes of Options Discovery featuring Alex that have yet to be published are forthcoming in the next couple of weeks, including one today with NASDAQ Sean Feeney that was done at the Options Industry Conference in Nashville in May. Alex graduated from the University of Illinois at Chicago with a degree in finance and headed off for a job with Tesla this summer. However, before he left, he recruited a replacement from UIC from the boxing team he was a member of there. Esma Awas, who just completed her sophomore year at UIC and is also a finance major, will be assuming the role as host of the Options Discovery video program that is part of JLN's The Spread video series. Esma, which is pronounced Esma, is also working on a minor in business analytics. She went through a very elaborate process to interview for the position that included a practice video on a particular subject, then an interview with me as a subject matter expert. We hired Alex with a much less complicated process. I said, "Hey, I see you're doing finance-related videos. Would you like to do videos about options trading and get paid for it?" Alex said yes, and the rest was history. Alex has also been a student of JLN contributor Sally Duros, a UIC adjunct professor, so we had some knowledge of him and his capabilities. We are very pleased to welcome Esma to the JLN team and thank Alex greatly for all his contributions. He was entirely professional during his tenure and did exceptional work for JLN. We wish him the very best during his career and thank him for opening the path for UIC students to follow in his footsteps and the example he set. The London Stock Exchange PLC, LSEG, today announced that Fiona Bassett will join the group as CEO of FTSE Russell. She will start with the group later this summer and be based in New York, reporting to David Schwimmer, CEO of LSEG. Adelson Maria, senior developer and partner at Vermiculus Financial Technology, has published an article in World Federation of Exchanges Focus titled "The Power of Real-Time Data." The whole issue of the WFE's focus can be found with a link in today's newsletter. The U.S. House of Representatives passed the long-awaited debt ceiling deal negotiated between House Speaker Kevin McCarthy and President Joe Biden's White House staff. Now the bill moves to the U.S. Senate for passage, Yahoo News reported. The Financial Times is reporting that reporters from Reuters, Bloomberg News, and the Wall Street Journal have been denied invitation to OPEC's Vienna headquarters, though the FT and trade publications have been invited. OPEC ministers are meeting Sunday with Russia, which may have something to do with the media ban. The Financial Times has an interesting story titled, "Andrew Scott, We Have to Invest Much More in Our Future Selves," with the subheading of, "We've never expected people to be living into their 10th decade, so we've never planned for it. Now that must change." The story says it's not about how long you live, but how you live, how well you age. Seeing as I have the body of an 80-year-old Joe Namath and the spirit half that age, it's an interesting subject. JPMorgan Chase CEO Jamie Dimon, the man with the buck stops here sign on his desk, said that the ultimate decider on Jeffrey Epstein was Steve Kuttler, former general counsel of the bank and a former director of enforcement at the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission. Okay, I made up the part about the buck stops here, but the ultimate decision short of the board rests with the CEO. The Financial Times has the story. The most read stories in JLN Options yesterday were Zero Fear from the Financial Times, How to Play NVIDIA Without Buying the Stock by Stephen M. Sears and Barron's, and SIBO Data Reveals Intraday Option Trades Are on the Rise from Digital Journal. It was tied with Stock Traders Turn to Options for Desperate Chase to Catch the Tech Rally from Bloomberg. Option stories can be hit or miss from day to day. Yesterday was a good day for such stories, Jeff Bergstrom reported. We have a podcast today from my coverage of ISDA's AGM in Chicago. The title, Bob Pickle at the ISDA AGM in Chicago podcast. John Lothian News caught up to former ISDA CEO Bob Pickle at ISDA's recent 37th annual general meeting in Chicago. Pickle is now consulting and sitting on boards during his post-ISDA career, something that the Dodd-Frank Act was seemingly made for him for. JLN spoke to him about his career before ISDA, how he found his way to the organization, and what he had done since he retired. Here is our interview with Bob Pickle. You can listen to this podcast on johnlothiannews.com. We have episode 18 of Options Discovery. Alex Tang talks about short-dated options and interviews Sean Feeney, the head of U.S. Options at NASDAQ. You can watch this video on johnlothiannews.com. We have a story from the Chicago Tribune. Driehaus Award goes to Tribune ProPublica for the Price Kids Pay investigation. An investigation by the Tribune and ProPublica that exposed the little-known practice of school-based ticketing won a Richard H. Driehaus Foundation Award for investigative reporting last week. The prizes, which honor local watchdog journalism, were announced by the Better Government Association at a May 24th event. In their project, The Price Kids Pay, Tribune reporter Jennifer Smith Richards and ProPublica reporter Jody S. Cohen described how thousands of Illinois students a year had received tickets at school for conduct that violates local laws. My comment. Chicago financial titan and Lake Geneva mansion owner Richard Driehaus may be gone, but his legacy lives on with the Driehaus Award. Here's another story, this one from Bloomberg. A headline, How the Fed Will Make Bank Transfers Truly Instant. While many countries now offer bank payments in the blink of an eye, moving funds between accounts in the U.S. can still take days. Electronic platforms such as PayPal, Holdings Inc., Venmo, and Block Inc.'s Cash App offer various workarounds to speed up the process, but they are essentially intermediaries that interface with the slow banking system. Now, the Federal Reserve has created a high-speed transportation lane that allows for bank transfers within seconds. Here's what you need to know about the new service, FedNow, which launches in July. My comment. I am sure there's a conspiracy in here somewhere that will be spun. FedNow! Here's another story from Bloomberg. The headline, How much coffee are Americans drinking? Soon nobody will know. The most important data point used to gauge the health of the U.S. coffee industry has suddenly gone dark, giving an added advantage to the biggest trading houses and roasters. Data tracking the amount of coffee parked in warehouses at American ports, which helps analysts, traders, and cafe owners alike judge supply and demand, was suddenly pulled from the market earlier this month. It had previously been published monthly by the Green Coffee Association for decades. The surprise move is fueling frustration up and down the supply chain. The stockpile information has traditionally been one of the best ways to understand whether the coffee imported into the U.S. is being ground and roasted for consumption, or if it's just piling up, signaling a drop in demand. As a result, figuring out how much coffee the world's largest consuming nation is drinking just got a lot harder. My comment: I judge it by how long the line is at Starbucks and Dunkin' Donuts. Here's another story, this one from the Financial Times. U.S. defense chief warns incidents with China's military could spiral out of control. Lloyd Austin calls for greater dialogue after Beijing refuses meeting at Shangri-La Security Forum. U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin has called on Beijing to resume bilateral security talks, warning that incidents could spiral out of control if China's military continues to take provocative action in international waters and airspace. My comment: China's military pulling some Tom Cruise-like moves from Top Gun might just set off a war. Here are the top three stories from Wednesday's JLN. Our top story Wednesday was technologist and exchange builder Richard Baker's deep dive into blockchain with Tokenovate, a podcast from John Lothian News. Second was hedge funds are deploying ChatGPT to handle all the grunt work from Bloomberg. Third was a day in the life of Jets legend Broadway Joe Namath, octogenarian from ESPN. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. The first story is from Bloomberg. The headline: Wall Street banks are using AI to rewire the world of finance. Lenders are experimenting with artificial intelligence. Not even Warren Buffett is sure what happens next. Deutsche Bank AG is using artificial intelligence to scan wealthy client portfolios. ING Group NV is screening for potential defaulters. Morgan Stanley says its bankers are experimenting in a safe and contained environment. Meanwhile, JPMorgan Chase & Company is hoovering up talent, advertising for more AI roles than any of its rivals. The AI revolution is unfolding on Wall Street as wider interest grows in the evolving technology and its likely impact on business. At the most enthusiastic banks, about 40% of all open roles are for AI-related hires, such as data engineers and quants, as well as ethics and governance roles, according to new data from consultancies Evident. Here's another story, this one also from Bloomberg. The headline: LME has lost benchmark status in key part of the nickel market. Iramet says Furan nickel price now based on Shanghai index. Shift comes after massive short squeeze hit LME last year. The London Metal Exchange has lost its benchmark status in a key part of the nickel market since last year's massive short squeeze, according to one of the biggest producers. Crystal Boras, chief executive officer of France's Eramet SA, said that an index produced by Shanghai Metals Market has become the benchmark for pricing ferron nickel, a form used for making stainless steel. Eramet says it is the world's second largest ferron nickel producer. And then finally, here's the final story, this one from the Wall Street Journal. The headline: the hottest thing in social media, an invitation from a platform not run by Elon Musk. People, some looking to leave Twitter, are pleading to get codes to join Blue Sky, an exclusive platform. At a recent event hosted by a tech company, dozens of San Francisco young professionals and others crowded into a basement event space decorated with string lights and munched on pizza and sipped LaCroix. Like attendees at so many Bay Area gatherings, they were chasing the latest hot new thing. This wasn't the real place they wanted to be. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast. And if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a subscriber to the daily John Lothian newsletter email, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye. This podcast has been produced by Andrew Lothian.